So the crowd was gathered. One small crowd gathered for the imperial parade, the procession, a well-known feature of first century Rome. Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea and Samaria, he would be entering the city of Jerusalem, flanked by the imperial cavalry, the soldiers, like he did 3 times a year for all of the major Jewish festivals, from the lavish Caesarea on the sea where he lived most of the year, 60 miles procession from the west to reinforce power and domination from the Roman Empire, power that wasn't shared. So imagine that procession in your mind's eye. Cavalry on horseback and foot soldiers, leather armor, glinting metal, golden eagles, and listen for the hoofs of the white stallions and the steady beats of the drums, the creaking of the leather, and the swirling dust as they march by. This crowd, the one I'm describing, is sparse in people, silent, maybe a little bit curious, but primarily standoffish from those who are going by. Pilate, by decree, is declared to be the Son of God, the Lord and Savior by Roman theology. It's obligatory. Pomp and circumstance. Now, the crowd we heard about, the crowd we felt and we saw in our gospel reading, approaches the city from the other side, the east, from the Mount of Olives. Jesus planned a counter-processional. In contrast to that white stallion, a young colt, never ridden. The prophet Zechariah declared that which the crowd would remember, the new king would come to Jerusalem humbly on a young colt. The crowd was filled with disciples and apostles who'd been soaking up every single word for the last 3 years, who wanted to be a part of that procession. Jesus is that king. So imagine in your mind's eye now, children running around and people laying cloaks down for that young colt to walk on and listen for the sounds of the joy-filled hosannas. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And feel the gentle breeze of the branches as the palms are waving. The crowds of Jesus were filled with those who hung on every word, but I have a sense there were also those who were kind of drug along by their neighbors who said, "Hey, would you just come with me and check this out too?" Those who were a little weary. And those who were a little curious, who were wondering, maybe the blind man brought along his family as well. And maybe the woman who was healed from the blood issue, she brought a friend with her. Maybe there were those who had worked all day, putting in a hard day's labor, and still had more to do later. They came. Maybe there were those who were hungry. And they didn't have everything figured out just yet. They came too. All were included in the crowd who came to see Jesus. And we know this because we know Jesus' miracles often included food. Sounds a little bit Methodist. Jesus' miracles often included food because people were hungry. You can't hear the gospel on an empty stomach. You can't hear the good news of resurrection when the growling of your stomach drowns out all else. When you and I love the crowds, we care for and we serve people. Scholars theorize that about 90% of Jesus' crowds were peasants, those who lived from hand to mouth. If there were bank accounts to be had, they'd have nothing to put in those bank accounts. This Lent, with the other Southern Chester County churches, we've been looking at poverty here in our area. And poverty's not the first thing we think of when we think of Chester County. In fact, Chester County is actually the 35th wealthiest county in all of the United States. Household incomes through the roof. What does poverty look like here? Being one of the most well-off counties means our cost of living is much higher. This extends from food to transportation. It means that a lot of families in our area are struggling just to get by. I think some of us know about this. In Jesus's crowds and in the crowds around us, it has something to do with food insecurity. That is the consistent availability of nutritional food and enough food. In our county, it means that 20% of kids in school qualify for free or reduced school lunches. It means in Kennett, that's about 40%. In Oxford, it's over 50%. And in Avongrove, it's about 30%. Let me share it a little bit differently. When Elizabeth was in kindergarten, I remember when she had her first two-hour delay. And it was exciting because, can you imagine a two-hour delay being exciting? This was exciting because it had snowed the night before. And it snowed, and what that meant was we got to have pancakes in the morning. So we got up early, and we made pancakes, and then we went sledding. So Elizabeth was in kindergarten, and she got on the bus, and she said to the little girl sitting next to her on the bus, and she said, "I got to have pancakes, and I got to go sledding." And the little girl next to her on the bus said she didn't like two-hour delays at all, because it meant that she didn't get to have breakfast, and her lunch was much later. It meant that she was hungry. What does it mean for us to love the crowds? It means that we love like Jesus. We have compassion. The crowds that had watched Jesus throughout his ministry and were captivated as he argued with civil and religious leaders, that leaned in as he proclaimed a way in which the last would be first and the first would be last. They watched him as he lived out a new way with prostitutes and tax collectors, with Samaritans. They winced a little bit as he kissed lepers and healed people that probably were a little bit uncomfortable. And they whispered in awe. On this Palm Sunday, I think those same disciples, the ones in that crowd, started to find a collective voice. A collective voice to say, "Hosanna, please come and save us. Save all of us. Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord." The voices of those who had already known healing and the ones who desperately wanted it to come. The ones who were choosing Jesus over the Roman Empire, to be the church that the world needed, to feed the hungry and to advocate for sustainable changes. This is what you all have been doing as you've been filling our food pantry time and time again to feed our neighbors. You've been loving our neighbors by bringing in laundry detergent and canned beans, toilet paper, thanks be to God, and cereal, pasta, and ham coupons. And where is God nudging our hearts to learn and do more? Where is God calling us to love as Jesus has loved? This Tuesday evening, we have the Southern Chester County Opportunity Network meeting here to address some of these poverty reduction strategies in a different way. We give thanks to God for this initiative that is about loving the crowd around Jesus. If you can join us, we give thanks to God. If not, we invite you to see how it is that Jesus is moving you towards loving God's people. On Palm Sunday, the followers of Jesus began to understand just what they've gotten themselves into with the cost of discipleship. Isn't it curious that Palm Sunday is in all four Gospels? This isn't true of the Christmas story. It's not true of the Lord's Prayer. And it's not true of the Beatitudes or even some of our favorite stories like the prodigal son. But the account of Palm Sunday is in all four of the Gospels. What does this mean for us? It means, I think, that Palm Sunday begins a moment when the followers of Jesus found their voices and proclaimed Jesus is King, Prince of Peace. And it comes at a cost, our discipleship, our action. Jesus' love for all, a way of living, Prince of Peace, and loving the crowds, is about taking a step of faith. As Jesus walked towards Jerusalem, each step was about love for those in the crowds. Crowds who would disappoint him and deny him and betray him, and yet he never stopped loving them. In fact, Jesus loves us so amply as to give us a pattern for that love, to give abundantly, to die, and ultimately to rise again. On Palm Sunday, the followers, then and now, begin to know what that looks like. This is the crucible of the church, where we find our voice in courage and in conviction. May we, you and I, also find our voices to love the crowds as we walk with Jesus this Holy Week. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.